Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Jim McGovern, ISIS and the U.S. response, cutting people's heads off. Are we going to end up, no matter what people say, are we going to end up with boots on the ground?
Well, we already have boots on the ground. So when people say we don't want boots on the ground, there are well over 1,000 American forces on the ground in Iraq as we speak. And they're not just protecting American personnel. So the issue is, how many more boots on the ground are we going to see? And what is our strategy? What is the clearly defined mission that we are supposed to be pursuing here? The fact of the matter is, the reason why Iraq is in this mess to begin with is because of the government we helped put in power, the government of Mr. Maliki, which was a rotten, lousy, terrible, brutal government that cut out a lot of the its opponents from any participation, in government. In fact, persecuted some of their opponents and went after, isolated the Sunnis in Iraq, and as a result, a lot of moderate Sunnis joined with ISIL, who may not agree with ISIL's methods, but, liked the fact that ISIL was against the government of Mr. Maliki. So, this mess you see in Iraq was created by a rotten government in Iraq, and I've always said, I've said this for years, the ultimate fate of what happens in Iraq is going to be determined by Iraqis, not by American diplomats or American military might. It's going to be determined by what Iraqis ultimately want. And we have the strongest military in the world. We have the biggest bombs in the world. We have the most sophisticated military technology in the world. But the the question we have to ask ourselves is, what's the end game here? What are we trying to do? I've heard people say that ISIL is the most dangerous thing that we've ever faced ever. Well, does that mean that we bomb them not only in Iraq, we go into Syria? And then do we become allies with Mr. Assad in Syria, who we have been trying to overthrow? I mean, how does this all work? This is a very complicated situation. And I give the president credit for being deliberative and rejecting those who just want to rush in and just start dropping bombs. I also believe that Congress has a role in this. And I have been saying this for many, many weeks now, and in fact, many months. I had a resolution on the House floor that passed overwhelmingly at the end of July that said if there are sustained combat operations in Iraq, then the Congress has to vote to authorize it or not. We're getting deeper and deeper into this. We ought to debate it. People ought to ask the tough questions. And then members of Congress ought to vote yes or no on whatever the strategy is. Because it's just, to me, inexcusable that Congress would just sit on the sidelines, sit on its hands, and just criticize the president or, offer, advice from the sidelines when we, based on the Constitution, Article 1, we have a role when it comes to making war. And we ought to live up to that, and I hope that we will. I've written to Speaker Boehner asking that he schedule a vote, my guess is that he will not by the time we recess. But, if we come back in November, I'm going to do everything I can to try to make sure that we have such a vote and have such a debate.
And why not? Why won't he do that?
Well, I think the president, like previous presidents, would like to act without any congressional interference. Presidents like to go it alone. But the problem with that is that's not consistent with the Constitution. And then you have members of Congress here who, for one reason or another, are afraid to engage in this debate. Well, if I say I want to send in ground troops, does that make me sound too hawkish, and does that cost me politically at home? Or if I say that, maybe we ought to, not jump in full throttle with a military operation, does that make me sound weak on ISIL? And so what we're seeing is that a lot of members of both kind of weighing the pros and cons of, you know, of how any kind of vote they would take might have on their political careers. And look, I understand politics. I've been in this business for a long time, but there are some things that trump politics. And you know, if we're going to send our sons and daughters back into another war, I think we ought to debate it. We ought to ask the tough questions, and then we ought to vote on it. And if the majority says no, then we don't do it. If the majority says yes and agrees with whatever the president proposes, then we go forward. But that's the way this country is supposed to run. And for too many years under both Democratic and Republican presidents, Congresses have been content to sit back and to shirk their constitutional responsibility. I just think that this is an important enough issue where we ought to be debating it. I mean, we're back this week and we're debating whether to repeal health care for the 55th time. The 55th repeal of Obamacare is coming up on the floor. That somehow that's supposed to be more important than whether or not we get involved in another war. I mean, we ought to ask the questions: who's going to pay for this? I mean, are we going to have a war tax, or are we going to do what we did for the previous two wars and put it on our credit card and go, you know, continue to get hundreds of billions of dollars into debt? I mean, how do we deal with Syria? What happens if you don't have a government in Iraq that is inclusive? And what about the neighbors, around Iraq and Syria? I mean, those are the countries that really do have a direct threat to their security interests. Why are we taking the lead? Why is it our planes and our forces that are on the ground? You know, why don't these other countries that are very wealthy, that have very strong militaries, we've sold them most of the weapons, why aren't they taking the lead on this? I mean, there are lots of questions that we should debate before we jump headlong into something, and I hope we have that opportunity.
So in the end, I think I heard this: too much politics.
Yeah, I think the politics of this issue, I think, is making it all too easy for the president not to seek authorization. And I think that's unfortunate. And I don't know where the votes would be if the president asked Congress to authorize, whatever his plan is going to be. And my view, is if you're not willing to vote on the issue of war and peace, then you're in the wrong business. I mean, if that's the kind of vote you want to dodge, you know, maybe you ought to think about, going into another career. But we get elected to vote on tough things, not just on easy things. And this is a tough vote. I know people, and right now, as we speak, we continue to get deeper and deeper and deeper into this. The president has said that this may be a multi-year military operation. Boy, if we're going to commit our young men and women into harm's way for many years to come, I think that's worth a debate. That's worth a very vigorous debate where we can, ask the tough questions and get the answers and then make a decision on what the right thing to do is.
Jim McGovern, Massachusetts 2nd District, a man who speaks extraordinarily well and who we're always delighted to have with us, telling us the way it really is, in office since 1997. Jim, when we come back the next time, let's go to the other foreign policy crisis, Russia and the Ukraine.
Look forward to that.